are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is again, my friends, the show that you cannot wait to hear every week, a brand new episode of the God Geeks podcast, where Jesus Christ is Lord, and we do not mean Lord Vader. And here's the thing, we know that the state of the American media right now has gotten y'all beaten down and worn out.
Tell me about it.
And you're sick of election junk, and you're sick of talking heads, and you're sick of the 24-hour news cycle, and you're sick of probably social media, because half the people that you know you think are total morons right now because
no
of
matter
their
which
political,
side you're on.
Yeah, because of the political point of views. Here's what I would say. Feel free to unplug from all of that, but don't unplug from this place, because this is the place that brings you good theology and good geek culture stuff
geekology every
week. Yeah, geekology. And we're glad that you're here with us. And we got some exciting stuff to talk about here the intro. And we're excited about the stuff that we get into in this episode. Before we get into that, what are some of the things that you're excited about with God Geeks and everything that's surrounding it and everything
else? I am super excited. Christ Hold Fast City Conference coming to our home church
in Dallas. Yeah, in Dallas, yeah.
On October 29th.
Yes.
All day affair.
Yeah.
Find me at the door and maybe I can sneak in.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be great.
There's going to be some great speakers there.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Emery Price. Who else we got? Is Chad Bird there?
Chad Bird is there. Yeah.
That's a get.
Yeah.
Man,
Dr. Scott Keith.
All right.
From the Thinking Fellows.
Okay.
Is supposed to be there. Elise Fitzpatrick.
All the cool podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Okay.
We're
you don't have to sit at the geek table at this.
Probably none of these people will ever want to come back. But the thing is, they're going to be there the first time.
Yeah.
So we'll have them for that one day. Actually, Chad Bird has been to our church before.
Okay.
And I love that guy. I really admire him. And I can't wait to hear what he has to teach and what he has to say at the Christ Hold Fast City event here in Dallas on October 29th.
Yep.
Get your tickets at ChristHoldFast.org. The other thing that we're excited about, it's been like maybe 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
That we've been on Pirate Christian Radio, and obviously
still
they're not listening to their
overboard.
Own broadcast.
Yeah.
So because we're still on there, you know, and so
ahoy, mateys.
Yeah, and the show, the God Geeks podcast, is like growing rapidly.
Yeah, every week we're adding viewers,
and so this is cool.
Listeners.
And there's people that are visiting the website, and the website is
godgeeks.com.
Yeah.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah, and your Twitter handle is
at the James Cleland.
Because you're James Cleland.
Yeah, I'm the James
Cleland. Yeah, you're the James Cleland, and I'm Bill Brimer, and my Twitter handle is at Bill Brimer. So you can find us on the social media.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be on there.
No,
because
you're like giving up social media right now.
I'm on a total social.
I, on the other hand, am teaching a current events class, so I have to dive.
You have to watch
the
debates.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, even though you already
and
know.
And then the worst part is, I'm not going to say who I would root for even on this podcast, but in my class, I have to be completely apolitical. No opinions, nothing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And you have to watch the debate even though you
Twice.
Already know who you're going to vote
for.
Oh,
yeah, I'm voting for me.
Yeah. Write your own name in.
Yep.
The James Cleland. Yeah, well, good, man. And so we're glad you're here. We're glad you've tuned in to listen. And we got some really cool, fascinating theological question to get into. What do we do with the differences of the four gospels?
Mm-hmm.
If there are differences or the contradictions, maybe even do they contradict each other?
Right.
And then this week in Geek, What do we get into?
We've got some movie recommendations for stuff that's on DVD, I should say.
Yeah, we keep priming the pump for Westworld, and we talk about Star Wars toys, even though we're not supposed to talk about either one of those. We were going to avoid those topics.
And now we've done it twice.
Now we're going to, it's going to be the second time in This Week in Geek. So thank you guys for tuning in and enjoy the show, and we will see you every week in the same place at the same time. Well, not at the same time, because you're listening to a podcast. You listen on your own time.
Same bat time.
Oh, let's get into it. Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It is Jedi Mind Tricks, the portion of the show where we get a chance to dig into some theological thoughts and theological issues. And this week we want to talk about a question that I got last week, which is a phenomenal question, in my opinion. And it has to do with, and I'll try to frame it the way the question was asked to me. How do we deal with the fact that in the Gospels, in the accounts of the Gospels, there are differences, if you will, in the ways that the stories play out. Events happen in different places, and then there's specific events where seemingly there's a contradiction, because in Matthew and Mark's Gospel, at the scene of the resurrection, there's one angel, and in Luke's there's two. And so if this is the inspired word of God, this seems like a mistake.
So
how could it be God's word and be inerrant? And there you have right there a perfect example of an error. There has to be an error. They can't both be right.
So how do we
deal with that? And so I didn't give you hardly any notice that I was going to ask you this question, but I would love to hear it is that...
I've seen this question before, but maybe not necessarily with this particular quote-unquote discrepancy, but another similar one with, you know, when Mary headed towards the tomb, what time of day or what time did she get there, et cetera. So there's, you know, debate over, one says it was dark, and the other says it was the beginning of the morning. And to me, it's always been like, well, yeah, it's dark at the beginning of the morning. Or when she set out, it was dark, and by the time she got there, it was morning. So really, it comes down to, with this question too, I think, we've got four different human writers relaying the same events, but from different viewpoints. And maybe they spoke to different witnesses too and asked different questions, so they're going to get different answers. Not necessarily different answers that contradict each other, but, you know, if one person asks one specific question, they're going to get a specific answer. And if another person asks another specific question, they're going to get a different answer. All that to say, who says there was only one angel according to those accounts? It says one angel, but it's referring to one specific angel doing a specific thing. That doesn't rule out there are other angels. It doesn't say only one angel. Okay. Exclusively.
Okay.
So it could be
It does say one.
It does say one angel. Yeah. So I've seen people argue semantically, well, it doesn't say only one angel, so there could have been other ones. And then, you know, two angels does include one angel. And that's the same argument people might use with how many women were there, because one only focuses on one woman but doesn't talk about the other women who were there. So you could argue, well, there's only one woman there. But, you know, that person writing the account they're writing is focusing on a specific aspect and a specific person, possibly. But I don't think in the key issues they contradict at all. They all agree Christ resurrected. He was not there.
Right. I think you're 100% right about that point.
Just what I've run into is what other people say.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think it is. I think even a skeptic could look at it and say, that's not a contradiction. Because one is not saying there were no angels, and the other one saying is that there are.
Right.
That would be a contradiction. These are variances in the accounts.
Right.
That's the way that I...
That's kind of what I'm saying.
That's where I approach it, is a variance. It's not... Here's the thing about it. I'm going to say something maybe that maybe makes sense, maybe it doesn't make sense to somebody else.
Okay, that's typical with you.
Yes, it is. Yeah. There's a whole slew of people who I make no sense to. I'm going to say that the strength of the four different gospels
might be having, because they're
the strength of the four different gospels is the weakness.
Okay.
So here's what I mean.
Okay.
The early church, first of all, it's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's a valid question.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful question. And the reason I love the question is it means that a Christian was actually reading them.
Yeah.
And looking at them and really actually
and noticing and some minute differences
them.
And details.
And I think
yeah.
that's very healthy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's four different gospels, all of them telling the story of the incarnation, the birth, mm-hmm. the life, the teaching, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Three of them are called the synoptic
right.
gospels.
Because they're very similar.
Right. That would yeah. be Matthew, Mark,
and Luke.
And Luke. Yeah. And then the other one that's kind of coming out of left field is John. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I mean by the strength is in their weaknesses. The fact that the early church, the earliest Christians, had these accounts, right? They mm-hmm. had the four gospels,
yep.
right? And they didn't change them.
No.
To try to make them all the same.
No, if they were all word for word the same, I'd have a little more issue.
So here you go.
Yeah.
So the strength is that you're actually dealing with, like you said, it's four different accounts of what the events were,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful that we have four different ones. Because if we had four that all said the same thing, we wouldn't have four. We'd just
We'd have one. Yeah.
But we have four, and we have, and here's the thing. If you were a cop,
mm-hmm.
and you had four eyewitnesses,
mm-hmm.
and everything that they said
totally scripted
was completely the same thing. There was no variation
yeah.
in anything they said.
Yeah, conspiracy. From
major to minor detail,
right.
you would be extremely suspicious that maybe none of what they said was true.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But if you had four independent eyewitnesses whose all their major events that they described were that had happened
right.
and there were minor variances in what they saw or what
right.
they thought about the events, that would be a major, it would be way beyond a reasonable doubt, right?
Right.
I mean, we convict people
right.
on circumstantial evidence and actually try them and convict them and execute them.
Yeah.
On circumstantial evidence all the time.
That's a whole
nother
discussion.
If you have one eyewitness to a murder
yeah.
and the eyewitness testifies, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Here we have way more than four because like
right.
in Luke's
yeah, there are multiple witnesses and
he says at the very
them.
Beginning.
Yeah.
You know, he says I interviewed all these people, and here's what's interesting to me, fascinating about Luke's gospel is that it's almost certain that one of the witnesses that he interviewed was Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because there's stories about his childhood in there.
Yeah.
And her Magnificat, like the song that she sings,
yeah.
and the events that only Mary could have told him about.
Right.
And
that's cool.
So there are really, you have a real community of people coming together and mm-hmm. saying, this is what I saw, this is what happened, this is what I know, or this is what I heard. And you have obviously two of the gospels are written by people who were actually there, Matthew
yeah.
and John,
yeah.
right? And then you have Mark, who is Peter's basically
protege
kind of,
yeah,
yeah. And then you have Luke, who is Paul's.
Right,
And they all have access to the same people.
Right.
So to me,
it reminds me kind of
that's what I mean by the strength is in the weakness.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that you have this beautiful I guess diversity in yeah. really a human and divine thing. And that's the beautiful thing about what we have in the Gospels is we have this really and it's interesting to me that you could use the same way to describe Jesus as you could these gospels is a fully human and fully divine.
Yeah.
You really
yeah.
have this really fully human document that is inspired by
that's what I've been getting
and
hit
God
with
is acting
lately.
In history, you know, so it's not like you couldn't isolate it's so good that we have four, and it's so rich and it's so beautiful that we have four instead of one, and all of them saying the same thing, and you have different arguments about, you know, which one came first, and,
right, like,
you know, did
Mark primacy,
you know, yeah. Marking priority and yeah. all this. I'm actually not an expert on any of that, but I have my own opinion, and I like the view. I think there's some significant strength in the view that the Gospel of Matthew was actually first. And that Mark got his
base story.
Base story from
and then
that.
Interviewed others.
And that you know, and it makes a lot of sense that it would be more of a summary. And there's other evidence that comes along with that. And there's, you know, we don't know. I can't know the answer, but there's a lot of theories out there. The major sort of popular theory is that the Gospel of Mark was first.
Right.
And sometimes they do that because maybe we have an earlier manuscript of Mark.
Right.
Which doesn't make common sense. It's not a common sense conclusion that would mean
destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. That would mean that, you know, because in the next 20 years, they may find an older copy of Matthew.
There was an interesting thing happened, I think, this month. They've started to be able to look at old manuscripts they couldn't read before with x-rays and
basically they're able to see inside an
burnt
old ancient scroll that they never dreamed they were going to be able to see. What they just knew that where the scroll came from. And actually, when you look into it, and they did, of course, and they were able to read parts of the scroll, and there were actually no differences in. There was no copying
over 1,000
errors.
Years or something.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, so the accuracy at which a lot of this stuff was copied is about as reliable as you can imagine that it would be.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you know, the cost of parchment, the cost of scrolls, the cost of these things, you know, and the fact that the guys that were probably writing it, their entire life revolved around copying it the way it needed to be copied. And the importance of that to them, you can imagine that a lot of them would be accurate because that's, you know,
it's amazing we have,
like they were distracted.
It's amazing we have as many copies of these things as we do. So Beowulf, you know what Beowulf is?
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Old English epic poem.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The only copy we have of it was sitting in this rich dude's library in like 1668 or something, right? And his library caught on fire and he's freaking out. So he's throwing things out the window, trying to save him. Beowulf happened to be one of those things. Out of the dozen or so things he threw out of his library out the window to save. The only copy of Beowulf at that point.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, Beowulf isn't even as old as the scriptures.
Right.
And yet we have so many different.
Right. Yeah.
This was an important thing to the early church.
Yeah, we actually have copies of documents from as early as 125.
Wow.
Which would have been less than 100 years after the crucifixion. And
these are people who talked to people who saw.
That's only 30 years after the Gospel of John may have even been written.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, the Gospel of John was probably written around 90, they say, which, you know, that's their best guess.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that
John's
we would have
old.
the fact that we would have a copy of that
original,
you know, from 30 years later is phenomenal, you know, and that you can look at it and compare what we have now and see how accurate it actually was. It meant so much to them to have this accuracy, and it meant so much to the early church not to change it. They believed it was. That each one had its own, that the strength of it was in the fact that this is an independent account. And so
verifying the most important part.
Yeah. So the answer is how many angels were at the tomb?
Yes.
The answer is yes. The answer is that they're all true because they're all accounts of truth, you know, and trying to harmonize them actually devalues them, right?
It's amazing that Bible translations haven't gone and tried to fix these errors and make them
there are some there are harmonized gospels versions.
Right.
And this happened really early on.
Really?
I want to say I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to say around the time of Augustine,
okay,
or Augustine, whichever.
Yeah, however, I bet there was debate over it then.
Yeah, but I believe that this was already in play. People were trying to take all four of them and harmonize them.
So this reminds me a little bit the ESV announcement that they're not going to close their translation.
Right.
It's going to be not a living translation, but one where they're working on it. Continue to work on it. I thought that was cool.
Well, it's a little confusing too, because you're like, wait a minute, they're gonna change what the
But English is it's a living language,
and that's the
so,
thing about it. They're not gonna change their interpretation of the Greek,
right?
From what I understand.
And hopefully they won't go the route of adding words like tweet to scripture.
Yeah.
But
they are going to update the English language because English changes its meaning over time.
Oh, syntax too. All
and
kinds
they don't
want to
lock it in place and have us be able to lose the meaning. But all fascinating stuff,
cool.
Beautiful stuff. And we thank God that there's four Gospels and that we have the richness of the Scripture, and that Jesus is alive, and that we couldn't even believe in Him if we wanted to, but He's caused us to have faith in Him, and He's brought this Word to us in our lives and transformed us forever. And that is Jedi Mind Trick.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right. This week in geek. It's going to be really hard this week not to geek out about Westworld, but we're going to...
It hasn't come out
yet. Pull the reins on that.
Yeah, it hasn't come out
hasn't
yet,
come
and
out
we've
yet.
Already mentioned it in almost
times.
Every show all
much.
Summer long, and it starts
this
Sunday
weekend,
night,
yeah.
And I cannot wait.
Oh, it's going to be good.
And right.
We can't talk about it.
The only thing that can't happen, I'm praying, Lord, don't make this happen. Well, actually, if before then Jesus came back, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
But if he doesn't come back, what I don't want to happen is that there be a storm on Sunday night, because then my satellite always kind of interrupts when there's a storm,
right in the
middle. I am wanting to I want to watch that live, I want to see it when it's happening. So I'm pumped about Westworld, but in our effort to avoid talking about Westworld, which we've already done, we're going to talk about a couple movies, right?
And they're not movies in theaters. They're movies that maybe slipped under your radar, by your radar.
And they're available for viewing now.
Available, totally
on devices.
Amazon and Netflix, maybe, and that kind of thing. So I've got one called Midnight Special. And I don't even know if it made it into theaters. And if it did, it was probably a limited run. It's a quirky movie. Not quirky in a funny way, but just kind of, it defies genre, really. Okay, so.
So, well, yeah, give me the rundown.
Yeah, I'll give you the rundown, but I don't want to tell too much. So there's, the movie starts off in small town Texas. Middle of nowhere.
I'm in already.
Yeah, exactly. and it feels very Texas. I mean, in the background, you hear Texas newscast.
Modern day. Okay.
And you hear Fox 4 News in Dallas. That's who I listen to news and yada, yada, yada. But then you realize there's these two guys, and they've got a boy in a motel room, and they're like, we got to go. And the boy's like, all right. And they leave the motel room. They go out this old, beat up 70s car or souped up 70s car. And they're on the run, and you don't know why, you don't know what's going on. And then it cuts to a weird fundamentalist doomsday cult, and they're looking for that boy too. And that's about all I really want to say, except for the fact that all the stuff you're into with dimensions and time. And
oh yeah, I'm very into
somehow
that.
Somehow that works into. I mean, it's a little bit mind blowing. I'm not sure I love where it ends up, but I did like where it ends up.
It had your attention long enough to get you to the
big
end
time,
where
big
you
time.
May or may not have been satisfied.
I was on a flight, and it was the movie that was available on your mobile device, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try for 5 minutes. 5 minutes in, I was turning around the guy behind me who was flying with me. I'm like, you got to start this movie. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then our flight was only an hour long, so I didn't get to finish it. I'm like, how did it end? I had to wait a week to get home and then see it. And it was worth it. It was good.
Yeah.
It's right up God Geek kind of alley.
All right. Tell me the name of it again.
Midnight Special.
Okay.
Midnight Special. Watch the trailer maybe, but I'd say go into it knowing nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing other than what I've told you.
Well, you had me at Dimensions. Yeah. And I watched a film that I was actually, I actually thought it was pretty good. I did not know how it was going to go, because I think this is was probably pretty well-known film.
Okay.
And it's called Steve Jobs. And it's Michael.
I'm 5 minutes in.
Okay.
And I'm kind of hooked, but I just haven't gotten
okay,
to finish yet.
Okay, it's actually about as well done of a the way that they do the movie is what I appreciated.
Yeah.
The way that they tell the story, it's sort of three acts, if you will, maybe, and it's okay. All around the public events. Like,
right.
So the first one is the Macintosh.
The unveiling of the Macintosh.
The original Macintosh,
yeah.
And the way that they tell the story is kind of all sort of backstage.
Yeah.
Like, you get filled in on the history of what has led up to that moment.
Yeah.
And then the next one, you know, they do like, I don't remember what all the specific events were, but they're major events. And you kind of get a picture, and whether it's a fair picture or not, mm-hmm. of who Steve Jobs is, my whole mm-hmm. thing is it's a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't know. There's no way for me to know. I mean, I don't know those people, you know,
right.
I don't know Steve Wozniak and all that stuff.
You don't
but,
know the Woz?
But I mean, I know who these people are.
Right.
But I have no idea to know whether this stuff is true or not. And so all I have to go by is
See,
it a good movie?
This is interesting because our last conversation in Jedi Mind Tricks was about the four gospels, different takes on.
Right.
So I have seen Pirates of Silicon Valley, which is the 1998 TNT made-for-TV movie
okay.
about Steve Jobs
okay.
and who's the guy from Microsoft? Steve, the other nerd.
Multi-billionaire.
Yeah. Anyways, that one's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. But then there was the one with Ashton Kutcher. Bill Gates, that's his name. Then there's the one with Ashton Kutcher, which came out, I think, a year or two before the Steve Jobs one. And I saw that one.
I think that one's just called Jobs.
The
or
Jobs,
something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Did you see
that one?
I saw that one.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I started this one.
I could imagine that that wouldn't be good because Ashton Kutcher.
It had its moments, but Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs,
yeah.
it just didn't quite work.
Well,
for me.
I think it was his project, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Like,
yeah.
he was kind of his, you know.
Yeah. Now this
and
one's
it was
got,
almost right after Steve Jobs
it was
had,
right
had
after.
Died.
Yeah, like I think it was in production.
Yeah,
before
that's why I was pretty skeptical about this particular one because
uh-huh.
I was like, how many movies are they going to do? How many,
right, and how could they possibly, you know.
How many takes are going to, but the acting,
well,
just from
it's Aaron Sorkin too.
Just from a movie standpoint, it's very good because the acting is excellent. I feel like the dialogue is excellent.
Yeah.
The way
oh,
that the story,
dialogue.
The way that, you know, you get insight into the stories and sort of the mechanism that they
mm-hmm.
tell the story,
mm-hmm.
I think is well done enough
okay.
to be entertaining. And that's really all I'm looking for in a movie is is it a good story and can I be entertained by it? And
nope.
I think it, to me,
and
it,
bonus if I learn something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never know what you're going to learn.
That's true.
I'm not sure I learned anything that was true. But I like the movie because it's a good movie.
Okay, cool.
And if you were ever into, like you said, if it's Aaron Sorkin, I didn't even actually even know that
he was
made,
a screenwriter.
Well, it makes sense because
the walk and talks that they did.
Well, Jeff Daniels is in it, and
yeah.
and it's the dialogue is
mm-hmm.
is very fast. And if you were ever into Newsroom on HBO,
yeah, it's got the
excellent,
feel of Newsroom,
you know. And so, I would say it's worth watching.
And it's on HBO Go right now. So
yeah, it's on I saw it on HBO. So
cool.
So yeah, and that's gonna be it for this
week. I can't think of anything else geeky going
on. No, and we're not gonna
other than Star Wars toys come out tomorrow.
I was just gonna say we're not gonna mention Star Wars or the Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
And just like we didn't mention Westworld, which starts
yeah,
Sunday
we're not
night.
Mentioning
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so we're not gonna catch you up on that stuff because you already know that stuff because you're all geeks. And we love you. Thanks for tuning in.